I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Many shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness, and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall, and raises up all those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, and all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent. Where is this written? This is what St. John the Evangelist writes in chapter 20. The Lord Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." What do you believe according to these words? I believe that when all ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation and absolve those who repent of their sins and want to do better, this is just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ, our dear Lord, dealt with us himself. The Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 23. "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock, and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 2. Remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. This is the gospel of the Lord. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to thee, O 34, and then I'm going to skip to 41 and 42. And when he got out, he saw a large crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And then at 41, and when he had taken the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed it, and he broke the loaves and started giving them to the disciples to set before them, and the two fish he divided among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. A little bit later in this service, in today's appointed collect, we're going to pray these words. Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve your goodness, still you provide for all our needs of body and soul. And that is most definitely true. And what Jesus did at that remote place near the Sea of Galilee is a great example of this. How the Lord provides for body and soul. We heard what happened. Jesus and his disciples went away in a boat to a desolate place to get some rest. And when he got out, there were all these people already there waiting for him. But Jesus did not regard them as an annoyance or even an inconvenience. Instead, when he saw that large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Many of those people had seen Jesus going in the boat. They looked where he was going, ran there ahead of him. Some of them were surely hoping to receive healing from the Lord. Probably some of them wanted to hear his teaching. Some perhaps went out of idle curiosity. Hey, what's the big thing going on over there? Why are all those people gathered together? Some might have come for nothing more than to be wowed by some impressive miracle. They wanted to see Jesus entertain them, perhaps. Regardless of the reasons they were there, Jesus cared about all those people. He had compassion on every single one of them. And Jesus likened them to sheep without a shepherd because, well, they needed someone to take care of them. They were hungry and apt to stray and vulnerable, just like all of us are. I mean, we are all sinners who need Jesus' care. That's why God so frequently in the Scriptures speaks of us as sheep. For example, all we like sheep have gone astray, he reminds us. Without his care, we would be lost and doomed. So what we're going to pray is exactly right. We don't deserve God's goodness. The Lord cares about us not because of any good quality in us or any merits, but purely out of his divine compassion, by his grace and mercy alone. And we praise the Lord that he abounds in this grace and mercy, that he's full of compassion for all us sheep. Jesus cared about all those people in that desolate place just the same way as he cares about all of us as whole people, body and soul. So he provided for them as whole people. Jesus provided for their souls, well, not exclusively for their souls, but primarily this was a thing that benefited their souls by teaching them many things. Now, Mark right here didn't mention the specifics of what Jesus taught them, but we know from the rest of his gospel and from the other gospels the things Jesus regularly taught. And Jesus' teaching was always an act of compassion because his teaching carries the word of life. You think this through and you'll realize this is completely true. If we did not have the teaching of Jesus, we would all die in our sins and be condemned forever. That's just the way it is. So in his compassion, our Lord taught the people. He taught them, for example, the full truth of God's commandments, the good and pure ways He desires and expects us to live, which, of course, always ends up pointing out our sin and our desperate need for His forgiveness. That's really important. Our Lord taught the good news of the kingdom. That God's reign has come in Him. That Jesus' power over disease and demons and death was already ushering in God's gracious kingship for the rescue and restoration of mankind, and that He's coming again soon to bring about the fullness of His reign. Our Lord also taught the happy truth of reconciliation with God, preaching peace to the people who were far off and to those who were near, as we heard Paul mention in the Ephesians reading. Jesus taught that He alone, nobody else, could bring us to the Father. He taught that He had come to give Himself as a ransom for the many, to shed His blood for the forgiveness of sins, to accomplish that very thing, reconciliation with God, to bring us near to Him. Brothers and sisters, these many things Jesus taught the crowds centuries ago are the same things He teaches you and me through the Scriptures. And these things are nothing less than the words of eternal life. We have a compassionate Savior who truly desires to nourish our souls with His teaching to keep us close to Him and protect us for life in His everlasting kingdom. So by all means, keep on receiving His teaching. Receive it with eager and thankful hearts, here in church, also downstairs in Bible class. You know, one of the things about Bible class, we've got more time. There's interaction with questions and answers. We can really go into more depth teaching there. We've got a pretty big room downstairs. Most of the time, there's room for more people. Make use of what Jesus provides you. Compassionate teaching in the words of life. Besides that, our Lord would teach you in your ongoing reading and study of Bible and catechism at home. In all of those ways, let your compassionate shepherd provide for your soul in the green pasture of His teaching, and He will bless you richly now and forever. Of course, besides doing the teaching, our Lord in His compassion was providing for the people's bodily needs as well. After all, the Lord did not create us as spirit beings who temporarily inhabit a disposable and insignificant body. That's a weird thought, but there's a lot of people think that. They're like, I'm just sort of a spirit trapped inside a body, and this body could be getting rid, or we get rid of it, and it wouldn't make any difference. No, that's not who you are. The Lord fashioned us fundamentally as bodily creatures, and then endowed us with a soul. So our bodies of flesh, these bodies we can see and touch, they're very important to the Lord. So much so, He took one Himself. God took on Himself full humanity, body and soul, so as to redeem us as complete creatures in body and soul. So naturally, the Lord cares about us also in our bodies. In His compassion, He provides everything necessary to sustain our bodies, including, of course, our food. Jesus provided food for that large crowd gathered around Him by a miracle feeding with just a little bit of bread and fish. He took what was on hand, just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He looked up to heaven and blessed it. There's an important example, isn't it? Jesus knows all food comes from God. It's to be received with thanksgiving and sanctified by the word of God and prayer, just as Jesus did.
Then Jesus broke that bread. He gave it to the disciples to set before the people, and he divided up the two fish for all those people. And by miraculously multiplying that little bit of food, Jesus fed 5,000 men, plus the women and children who were there. All of those people ate and were satisfied. And then they gathered up 12 baskets full of broken pieces afterwards. Way more leftovers than the food they started with. Our compassionate Lord is a very capable and very generous provider. Now, on that occasion, feeding the crowd through an instant multiplication of food was just the perfect means for providing for them. Jesus used what happened to be there. Most of the time, however, the Lord provides for the crowds, for all humanity, through a slightly more prolonged multiplication of food, namely through his ongoing creation of plants and animals. That's what he's doing. Whenever seed goes into the ground and it's multiplied, that's the Lord's work. Whenever animals have offspring for us to eat, fish or poultry or red meat animals, whatever it is, that's the Lord's work of ongoing creation. He keeps on doing that to provide for us. And he also provides for us the helpful services of farmers, processors, truckers, grocers, restaurant workers, family members who cook at home, and the countless other people involved in the production and distribution of all those wonderful things we eat all the time. Every single bit of that is from the hand of our compassionate provider. Our eyes rightly look to the Lord to give us our food in due season. He opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Yes, our Lord is so good to us. He provides the teaching of his saving word. He provides our food. He provides everything else we need to sustain us as complete people, body and soul, for our life right now and in the ages to come. Now, in view of his compassionate provision, clearly we should be trusting in him to provide every need of soul and body. Trust the Lord for teaching and food, forgiveness and healing. Trust the Lord for the resurrection to complete restoration as whole people when he comes again. The Lord's compassionate provision also calls us to daily thanksgiving and praise. Day by day, throughout our entire life, the Lord graciously and generously supplies us with every good thing. He never fails. How could we not offer him our thankful adoration in both public and private worship? There are many people who don't acknowledge this, who every single day of their lives receive the free gifts of the Lord's generous provision and very seldom trouble themselves to come to his house and say thank you. Let's not be among the ingrates. And then there's this other thing. The Lord's compassion and everything he does to provide for us, that calls us also to follow his example in compassionate care for others in their bodily and their spiritual needs. And teaching is still a huge part of that, isn't it? Things haven't changed with humanity. Many, many people are still like sheep without a shepherd, knowing very little about the Lord and his ways. Now, just a few weeks ago, a visitor asked what this thing is right here. I explained it's a baptism font and explained what it's for. And you might think, well, how does anybody not know what a baptism font is? Well, how would they? Unless somebody taught them. Another thing I've observed, I don't know if you like watching Jeopardy. I do. Sometimes I get home in time to watch it. They've got now and then categories in there on the Bible, or maybe it's Old Testament or New Testament. And lots of the times, the contestants, intelligent and well-educated as they are, cannot answer even basic questions about familiar Bible narratives. And they again think, how could they not know that? But the explanation is clear. They've never been taught. You see, people, Jesus' care for others means we've got to be active and faithful in Christian teaching. That's compassion. Adult instruction classes, Sunday school, Bible classes, confirmation classes, Lutheran day school, vacation Bible school, the various media we use, such as the radio broadcast and the website, the newsletter, those are all avenues of Christian teaching. So also, just as importantly, the Christian teaching you folks do as parents and grandparents in the home, those are all beneficial avenues of compassionate care for people in need. Now, we praise God for providing all those means of teaching and for enabling us to do a lot of that work fairly well. And yet, there's always the need to keep on bringing more people here so that we can teach them. Hard to teach people when they're not here. Remember, our Savior's great commission is this: go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you to observe. That mission work is carried out by the two activities: baptizing and teaching. And He's equipped us well to do that. So let's be faithful at it. At the same time, let's be compassionate as we continue to care for people also in their bodily needs. Here at St. John's, we've got a share program to help people with food, Elders Care Fund to help people with other types of needs. We help support Christian Civic Outreach here in Pekin. Those are all very good and helpful in extending the Lord's compassion to others. We always need to be thinking, though, are there additional things we might be doing as a congregation to show Jesus' care? And, of course, there are lots more ways that we as individual Christians can be caring for people's bodily needs in our ordinary daily activities. The point is, we learn from Jesus to be intentional, generous, and faithful in all these avenues of service too, because caring for people and their bodily needs not only provides help for them, which is important in itself, but this also demonstrates the love of Jesus, and it might even open up some doors for teaching the good news of salvation in Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, as we trust in the Lord, as we thank and praise Him for His compassionate provision, let's also follow His lead in compassionate care for others. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. As we continue our prayers, we remember Bill Hall with thanks. He's home from the hospital. Roxanne Dixon, who is at Pekin Hospital. Donna Hansen, who's recovering from surgery after a broken hip at Pekin Hospital. We also remember Faith Lutheran Church in Monticello. This is one of the missions we help support with our offerings to the Central Illinois District, and that congregation is currently without a pastor. Lord God, you are our compassionate provider. You graciously supply us with all we need and more than we need to care for us in soul and body. We praise and thank you for your compassionate care. Help us always to trust in you for every good gift, and help us to follow your lead in compassionate care for others. We thank you, Lord, also for our brothers and sisters at Faith Lutheran Church in Monticello. Continue to serve them with your saving word and sacraments. Work in them to receive your gifts with joy and to serve you faithfully. Provide them another pastor of your choosing in due season, and grant them your rich blessing always. Watch over our president, governor, legislators, judges, and other public servants, our military servicemen, and the many others you provide for the public good. Guide them, O Lord, as they carry out their duties for the maintenance of peace, justice, and security. Continue to bless us through the labors of farmers, truckers, food processors, restaurant workers, and others through whom you provide our food. Also through physicians, nurses, pharmacists, CNAs, and the many others involved in the provision of health care. We thank you for the countless others you send to care for us in many daily needs. For all of them, we give you the glory. Help us, too, as we carry out the work you've given us in our various stations of life, so that we may be helpful instruments of your compassionate provision. God of all grace and mercy, we thank you for your goodness to Bill, Roxanne, and Donna. Be present with them to grant your healing, strength, good cheer, and Christian patience and hope. Remember also Aaron, Stacy, Tom, Christy, Cheryl, Leah, Bob, Mark, Karen, Bob, Sam, Sandy, Tim, and all the others who need your care, whose names you know, and have mercy on all of them. Hear and answer all these prayers, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve your goodness, still you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord. Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. warm welcome and greetings in the name of Jesus to all of you. We're happy, especially that our guests are with us today. Everybody's invited to fill in the little red friendship booklets at the end of the pews. Just one announcement I want to make. If you haven't looked lately at the booklets that are in the Project Connect rack, and that's that kind of upright circular rack back in the narthex on that side, take a look at that again sometime. There's a lot of good titles in there, and some new ones have been replenished. There's going to be some more new ones coming, too. Those pamphlets are for you to read and for you to take and give to other people. That's what they're for. The Project Connect is intended to connect other people to some good devotional readings that will benefit them in all sorts of needs and troubles in life. So take a look at those and help yourselves. If you take the last one, don't worry, we'll put more in there.